Mona.
Randala.
Hey.
Hey.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
So we are continuing our advanced reincarnation classes. And it's class number 25. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left. And then when that opens up, scroll down to class 25, which will open up to chapter 22, section 1, titled The Rectification of the Wicked and the Righteous. Do we have any questions from previous classes or other subjects?
I thought we were on section 5.
Go ahead. See if
I have one. I thought we were on section 5 of 22.
Did we go that far? I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe you're right.
Well, I have December the 2nd of the 18th was when we did section 1. Let me see.
Give me a second. I will look up.
And we also did section 2 on December the 2nd. We continued it. Yes, we went all the way to section 4. We stopped here on July 22nd of 14, and then I have stopped here on December 2nd of 18. So we must have done 1 through 4 last week. I've got a lot of notes on my paper.
I think you're looking at section 21.
Let me check it again. See if he committed. No, it's 22, section 1. But you do what you want to do. Fine. Won't hurt to redo.
Let me double check while we're going through it. Last recording I have is just of chapter 21, section 4b, which was the previous class.
Okay. Tell me again what you're going to start on, and I still have those in front of me, I think. Always just put them behind the other.
Chapter 22, Section 1.
Okay.
And we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud could sabr to Rishkinte, Bitkinur, Kinur, 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 Kinur. Leachta, Lashem Yehud, Hei Bavache. To Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadenu kerenei aleinu maasei yadenu kerenehu. Regarding the punishment in this world of the souls of wicked people, they have to reincarnate many times to rectify their sins. And there is almost no person who can avoid these Gilgulim. After they die, the wicked enter purgatory and receive punishment there to atone for their sins, and their judgment lasts 12 months. I remember we did do this recently.
It was last week.
Was it last week? For some reason,
yes,
I didn't
well,
get the recording.
Well, I have the date. It is 12/2/18. And I remember it was an extra long lesson.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I have the recording. So let me double check if I have the recording. If not, I'd like to redo it. But if I have it, that's fine.
No, it'd be fine with me. Whatever you want to do.
I understand, but if I don't have to do it over again, I won't.
Okay. It was a passage about the kings of Edom. That's why I remember it, because I wanted to copy that portion and put it with my handouts on the kings of Edom. And that was in section 4 of 22.
Yeah, I don't have the recording, so let's
okay.
Do it over again.
All righty.
I am adding as a commentary, I think the word in Hebrew is Gehinom rather than purgatory. And it's better to translate Gehinom as hell, not purgatory. In the Western world, purgatory is a place that the soul waits for its judgment. That is not what this is referring to. Also, this information regarding time is confusing. Since we truly do not know what time looks like or feels like, yet our sages have said to say Kaddish for the elevation of our parents' souls for 11 months. They determine that the soul may spend less time in Gehinnom and thus do not want to say Kaddish the full time of 12 months to imply that our parents are the Rashaim or the evil people who earn the full cleansing of 12 months. Their souls get pushed from Gilgul to Gilgul until their sins have been cleansed a little. There are wicked people of whom the verse says, and may he hurl away the soul of your enemies as one shoots a stone from a slingshot. They don't yet merit to enter purgatory after their deaths to cleanse their sins. Rather, their souls get pushed from Gilgul to Gilgul until their sins have been cleansed a little, just enough to allow them to enter purgatory for 12 months to atone. There is no set time for this. Sometimes they can continue in Gilgulim for 10 or 100 or even 1,000 years, depending upon to what extent they sinned previously. I am adding, this may be new information for you. There are negative actions that require someone to reincarnate rather than be cleansed in Gehinnom. In the Western world, we are taught that the worst place is Gehinnom. Actually, our physical world can be the worst, or it can be the best. It depends on your choice of consciousness. Though purgatory is not a place one looks forward to, once a person requires atonement, it becomes a necessity. However, even to enter purgatory, one must not have slipped to too low a spiritual level, because if he has, he will first require Gilgulim to raise him to a level that can allow him to enter purgatory and achieve his final atonement. However, righteous people and Torah scholars can never be affected by the fires of purgatory, as it is written regarding Elisha. He cannot be judged because of his involvement with Torah. Therefore, they need to reincarnate in this world to cleanse their sins, for there is no righteous person in the world who does good and does not sin. Torah learning provides a special protection against the rectifying flames of purgatory, which creates a problem for a Torah scholar in need of rectification. Therefore, he has no alternative but to complete all of his tikkunim through Gilgulim instead. My commentary. Please do not accept the tone of the above two paragraphs that imply the study of Torah is a punishment that the Torah student, the Torah scholar, reincarnates to complete all of his tikkunim. The cleansing of Gehinnom is no picnic. According to the writings, Torah is a protection shield to escape the pain and waste of time connected to Gehinnom. A righteous person, after he leaves this world, is able to ascend to great heights in the world that is coming, but not all at once. Immediately after his death, they punish him to rid him of his more severe sins, after which time they place him past the first division. When the time comes to ascend to a higher partition, they return him to this world to receive more punishment, this time for the lighter sins, after which he can ascend to the second level. Then we will finally be able to ascend to his true fitting section in paradise. After that, they return him again to be punished for the minutiae of the law and the hair's breadth that he did not carry out, according to the secret of his closely surrounding ones, are subject to extreme turbulent conditions. Then he will finally be able to ascend to his true fitting section in paradise. Completely righteous people like David or Daniel, God wanted to make known that they were in the world that is coming, and that they would not require neither punishment nor guiltily. As it said, had I not trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of life. And one thing I ask from Hashem, that this I shall seek, that I dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. This was also stated by Abigail the prophetess when she said, the nephesh of my master is bound up in the bundle of life. Of Daniel it was said, as for you, go to your end where you will rest. My commentary. The three steps of reincarnation to effect cleansing of the soul at three levels also allows these tzaddikim to arrive at higher levels of consciousness and to be able to serve Hashem in a more complete way. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions? Judgment After Death, Section 22 of Chapter 22. We find explicitly stated in Midrash Ne'ilam of the Zohar on the verse, for all the good that God did for David and Israel, his people, that David stayed in the world that is coming 7 years after his death, before they allowed him to enter the upper Jerusalem, the upper level of paradise. David stayed in the world that is coming 7 years after his death, before they allowed him to enter upper Jerusalem. We also find this with respect to Samuel the prophet, who is considered equal to Moses and Aaron. When Saul raised him from the dead, using Ob. One of the ancient and forbidden methods of sorcery using bones done to raise up the dead and communicate with them. As it says, why did you disturb me to raise me up? The sages say he, Samuel, was afraid that it was the great day of judgment. So would it seem that even if one is judged at the time of death, still there are more judgments and punishments to follow? Even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who did not miss one verse or Mishnah, cried at the time of his death, as it says in the Brachot. So his students asked him, what will be with the other righteous people who are not like you, and how much more so those people whose sins are many? In other words, if he was worried about judgment after death, then what about the rest of us who don't come close to him indeed? However, it is not now the place to elaborate. Because of a certain sin that he committed, he was reincarnated into this rock. On many occasions, I walked with my teacher through a field, and he would say to me, this person was called such and such, and though he was a righteous person and a Torah scholar, many of a certain sin he committed, he was reincarnated into this rock, or this planet, or this plant, etc. even though he never knew the person nor inquired about him after his death, we always found that he was correct. If we discussed this in depth, this book would never end. Sometimes he would look from a distance of 500 amots, cubits about 1,000 feet, at a certain grave that was among 20,000 others, and he would see the nefesh of the person buried there, standing on the grave. He would say to us, "In that grave is buried so-and-so, and they gave him such and such a punishment for such and such a sin." We would then investigate the person's life and find his words to be true. There are many great stories like this one. My written commentary. This whole section is explaining the idea that we can know what is the judgment for each one of us through our intuition. It takes great effort to learn the punishment, since human beings look for the least effort involved. To learn that this will be your punishment, which might be as little as being stillborn as the reincarnation, to cleanse what you have to cleanse. A human being might think, "I do not need to do teshuva, chas v'shalom. A few months in my mother's womb is not a problem." This is the silliness of a man. This is the end of section two. Are there any questions? Forms of
guilt
and
lien. I would hate to think about being reincarnated as a plant or a rock. I know it's done, but...
Well, it's not something to dwell on. It's something to motivate your tissue up.
Right. Well, one thing, you enjoy flowers and you look at them and you admire them. And I like counting the parts to see if I can see a gematria of one of Hashem's names. But so I guess you could bring pleasure to somebody as a plant.
And you do. And also by being in the home of a plant, being in the home or the garden of someone who is a student of music. So by hearing the music or feeling the vibrations, if it's a plant or a rock, that can be the correction.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't understand why someone enters into it.
That comes back in a fish, you know, you kind of halfway can see the chesed there, but having to be eaten at Shabbat, like I said, it's something to think about, but then go on and do teshuva.
It is a tool to motivate your teshuva, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I always thought, too, like this person said that he saw the nefesh on top of the grave. I thought the nefesh stayed in the grave with the body. I didn't realize that it would stand on the grave.
Except at times when the nation of Israel is praying, then it's released. The forms of punishment. The forms of the fires of Gehinnom are quieted. The same thing would apply to the nefesh, that it's allowed to step outside the body.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be drawn back inside the body as soon as the prayers are over.
Well, I don't think I caught that last week when we read it, so good thing we're doing it again.
If we did everything, when I was studying the Ten Women Examinations by Rabbi Berg, there were 600 tapes, cassette tapes, and each one of them I listened to three times. And it was just, that's what was necessary to absorb it for me. And I'm not saying that I absorbed it, and I don't really know that I absorbed it until I teach it to you. And that's just the reality. You don't know if you know something until you can teach it to someone else.
Right. I also see that if you're teaching, you have less likely to forget details of certain things, too. You know, it keeps your memory fresh.
Correct. The other thing that keeps your memory fresh are the questions that your students ask.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Poems of Gilgulim, Section 3. When a person dies, he is punished for all of his sins, even before entering purgatory. There are many types of punishment, all of which are called Gilgulim, through which a person can reincarnate into domain, the mineral, tsomeach, the vegetation, kai, the animal, or into midaber, another person. Just about everyone must undergo these gilgulim. The reason is because a person cannot receive punishment until he exists physically in a body with a soul, at which time he can bear and feel pain and atone for his sins. The extent to which a person sins determines the type of Gilgul he will have to undergo, either as something from the Tzomeach, or the Domain, or as a Chai. Thus, even righteous people and Torah scholars can reincarnate in this manner for having committed sins in their lifetimes, after which time they will ascend to the level befitting them. The sin must be removed, for God does not disregard any of them, since he operates according to judgment. Even should the person be completely righteous, he will not accept any bribe from him, not even a mitzvah. Also, when a person wants to ascend to a higher level, he is sent back to this world and reincarnates in one of the manners mentioned above. If he still has a particular sin to purge, once I was with my teacher and he told me about a certain man he saw from the time of the Tanaim. And I'm adding, those are sages who lived before the writing of the Talmud. This Tanaim reincarnated into a female goat for having had relations by the light of a candle, which is forbidden by Jewish law. This can result in children who are epileptic, which it turned out they were, and as a result they died young. It was literally considered that he was guilty of spilling the blood of his children. Another time he told us that he saw a very learned Torah scholar from a previous generation for whom the time had come to ascend to a higher level. Therefore, at that time, he could see him being punished for not having been scrupulous in the finer points of mitzvot. in order for him to ascend to a higher level. According to the level to which a person is to be elevated, that is the extent to which he must be purified. Even for the finer details of mitzvot, to a hair's breadth. At that time, the person was punished for two reasons. Firstly, for having become distracted from his tefillin while saying the words, "May it be your will before you," that he shouldn't toil for naught and not give birth to confusion. After the Kedusha in the prayer, Uvatz L'tzion. When concentrating on this prayer, he became distracted from his tefillin, and for that slight transgression, he was punished. Secondly, one Shabbat, as he walked in a public domain, some dust gathered on his shoe, and as a result, he carried four cubits, unwittingly in a public domain. Now you can understand what it means when it says that righteous people have no rest in the world that is coming. As the sages teach on the verse, they go from strength to strength as they ascend from level to level. They need to purge previous sins even more. The positive deeper meaning is that they are constantly in a state of ascent. A person is connected to God in the next world the same way he is here, just amplified by the Zohar, or according to the Zohar. In order to merit proper acceleration in ancient and ascent there, one must start by doing it here. And so it is necessary to renew oneself every day. Start today's quest for enlightenment with new vigor and enthusiasm. This is the key to being constantly fresh. My commentary. There are some questions that need to be clarified about this section. Western wisdom teaches that a positive action will cancel a negative action. This is not correct. If this were true, most people would find themselves on a negative overload. Yet there are some positive actions like charity that will atone for a negative action. This is what is taught by the rabbis of the Talmud. This does not make sense to me. My opinion feels that each action stands on its own, and the effect of that action is received in the various locations of cleansing. A negative action without teshuvah, then everyone would be doing teshuvah all the time, and there would be no free will in this area. My worldview dictates that if each action would be rescinded by another action, this would need to be on the same scale other than money. This is because each person's money comes from Hashem. I just cannot see the action of charity undoing a negative action. Since the person is using the tool that Hashem provided him. If the charity did not cause him distress to give it, then it would not be sufficient to act as a cleansing of some other type of negative action. I'm continuing. Below is written some explanations as to why the above described sins are considered minor. I disagree with these teachings, since we are taught that it is not up to us to determine what is a major mitzvah and what mitzvah is a minor mitzvah. I think this applies as well to the mistakes we make. We cannot know what is major and what is minor when it comes to a mistake. An example of this is Jonathan not giving King David food when he escaped from King Saul. Jonathan was judged with death since the result of his oversight was for David to stop at the Kohanim city of Nob, and he was stopping there to get food. The result was King Saul caused 200 Kohanim to be killed. Another reason is that just as modern science teaches us a butterfly flapping his wings in China can create the hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, we can now know the results of our actions with our limited senses. We cannot know the results of our actions. Tefillin provide consciousness. Therefore, it is forbidden to take the mind off tefillin while wearing them. This is called generally considered a slight sin because it involves the mind, which God knows that it is more difficult for a person to control. Shabbat laws forbid objects over this distance. Forbid carrying objects over this distance. Under normal circumstances, this would not be a problem since the person did not intend to carry the dust. It is something insignificant, and it was not transported in the usual manner of someone who would intentionally carry it. Again, at the time of this soul's chance to ascend to a very high level, it was judged for this also. This is the end of section 3. Are there any questions? Elevation and descent of Gilgulim. As is well known, the entire world was made from the parts of the seven kings that ruled in the land of Edom, who died and the fallen sparks were separated out. Prior to day one of creation and the existence of the Sephirot as we know them, there existed preliminary Sephirot, the vessels which God was forced to break. This resulted in the world of Tohu, chaos. Since there were preliminary Sephirot, they were not given their final names of Keter, Hakma, and other names that we know. They are referred to by the names of the kings of Edom mentioned in the book of Genesis. And the pre-creation existence is called the land of Edom. Once God willed the world to be, he sent down a repairing light that surrounded, that's resurrected as many of the broken pieces necessary for existence, separating them out from among the Klipot. Those which were the most refined were used for the level of Atzilut, and the next level went to Briah, after that to Yetzirah, and finally to Asiyah. From those used to create Asiyah, the most refined were used for man, and they were separated out first. After that came the animals who cannot speak, then the vegetable kingdom, and after that, inanimate creation. However, a righteous person, through his actions, such as eating for the sake of a mitzvah, can separate out aspects of the inanimate world and elevate them to the level of the vegetable kingdom or the animal kingdom or even to the level of man. as we have explained in Shar HaMitzvot, in the portion Akev on the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. It all depends upon how intensely one is connected to the spiritual energy inside the food and not drawn after the physical desire. A wicked person, however, through his actions can cause just the opposite to happen and will lower the sparks down the rungs. Some sins can cause portions of man, soul sparks, to descend until the level of domain, some until tsumeach, inanimate, vegetable, and others into animals, the high level. Thus, hold on a second. Thus, after a wicked person dies, he can reincarnate into an inanimate rock as a result of the sins he performed in this lifetime, or into vegetation, or into an animal if his sins were animal-like. The person who reincarnates in this way will remain there for a set amount of time until he has become purged of the sin that caused him to reincarnate into vegetation. After, he will be elevated to the level of the animal kingdom, and when the time is complete, he will be elevated to that of man. Reincarnating into a man can happen in one of two ways. Regarding the first way, and the souls of wicked people which after death do not merit to enter purgatory, or bodies of living people in this world, we will speak about later. According to the second way, they may enter a person in the secret of Ibor, of pregnancy, an added soul part, as we've spoken about earlier, clinging to the person without him even knowing anything at all. Just as an accessory can be added to a stereo system to enhance and increase the sound it produces, so can soul parts be added to amplify its tendencies and its performance for good or otherwise. Thus, if a person sins, the nefesh that has come into him will overcome him, and the person will sin and be pulled to the side of evil. For just as the soul of a righteous person enters a person to help him do good, so the soul of a wicked person causes another to do evil. Sometimes the ibur is to help the soul rectify itself, and sometimes it is for the sake of the person to bring him to do good. These two levels also exist with respect to the ibur of an evil soul, either for the sake of it having entered the body of a righteous person, or to cause a wicked man to complete his evil and warrant destruction from the world, God forbid. An evil soul can come into the body of a righteous person to achieve tikkun through his actions. It can also come into the body of a wicked person to accelerate his spiritual demise. Once the set time to atone has finished for the soul that has reincarnated into a person in one of these two ways just mentioned, then he is forgiven. He can then come into this world as a true Gilgul, born into a body like most people. And I'm adding, Section 4 is a preliminary information so that we can make use of the next section. This is my opinion. The information is clear. It is. If it is not clear to you, please ask. This is the end of Section 4. Section 5, the Order of Ascension of Gilgulim. Reincarnation to something inanimate or into vegetables happens at specific times of the year. For example, someone who reincarnated into something inanimate for a few years, when the time arrives for him to ascend to a higher level of vegetation or out of vegetation, he can only do so during the four middle months of the year, the month of Av, Elul, Tishrei, and Cheshvan. If the time to ascend occurs during these 4 months, then he will ascend. If not, he will have to wait until these four middle months come around again. The time to be elevated from Sameach, from vegetation to animal, is the first 4 months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. The time to be elevated from Chai to speaking is the last 4 months. It's the time we're in now. That's Kislev, Tevet, Shabbat, and Adar. Even though the order of ascension is from the domain to Tzomeach, then to Chai, and finally to Midaber, sometimes a person can climb two levels at once. For example, if a soul reincarnated into something inanimate, such as dust, and an animal came along and ate grass which had the dust on it, then this soul will now reincarnate into that animal. According to the principle, the nature of food is to become the eater. This is accomplished by digestion, thus rising two levels at once. Sometimes he can even reincarnate all levels at once, from the inanimate to the speaking. If a person eats food that has dust into which a soul reincarnated, someone who has reincarnated into water and salt is not considered to be part of the inanimate. Rather, it's vegetable, since water is life-giving. It flows and it is not stationary like dust. Salt itself is made from water, and therefore it is considered part of the vegetable. Since water is life-giving, it flows and it is not stationary like dust. Salt itself is made from water, and therefore is it considered part of the vegetable. This is what the sages say. One who takes salt from his quarry is guilty of cutting, and as it is well known, in the laws of Shabbat and such, such cutting only applies to things belonging to the vegetable world. These types of reincarnations are discussed in many places and are alluded to by the verse, "Rescue my soul from the sword, my only one from the grip of the dog, from reincarnating into him." The sages hinted to this when they said, if the head of an ox is in the feeding basket, go to the roof and be very careful. One who sees a black ox during the month of Nisan should run from it and go up to the roof because the Satan is dancing between its horns. This is what they mean. Since the ox represents strict judgment, it is better suited for the Gilgul of a wicked soul more than other animals. And therefore you should run from it rather than from other animals. For there is no better time to reincarnate from vegetation to animals than in Nisan and the 3 months that follow. Therefore, during the month of Nisan, because of the addition of a wicked Ibor, it might damage anyone who meets it. However, after he, the ox, is accustomed to it, the Ibor, he will not cause harm. And therefore, there is no reason to be so concerned regarding the elevation.
I always thought the Ibor was a positive thing. I never saw it as a wicked Ibor before. I thought the Ibor needed a mitzvah to be performed, so it impregnated a human in order for that human to help it accomplish that mitzvah.
But if it's a wicked person, it may need the Ibor to complete its destruction.
I see. Okay. I just hadn't thought of that, that area.
It's generally the lesson of expanding our limits. You know, we create these images.
Right.
And we have to recognize
both sides.
You know, I'm going to use this opportunity to expand on a teaching that I've been wanting to do for a while. Many times we look into our intuition, and we get an answer to a question we've asked from our intuition. But it is very easy that our intuition is limited by our understanding of what we have learned. As an example, if someone asks a question, what should I do? Should I marry this person? Our intuition is going to give that person an answer to that question. If the person is leaning to marry the person, he may get a no answer that he doesn't hear. And he'll ask again so that he gets a yes answer. Or conversely, it may be that the person does not have any knowledge about the reputation of the person he's thinking or she's thinking of marrying. And so when he asks or she asks the intuition, in his own intuition, the answer he gets is yes. But if he is open and realizes that his intuition is limited to what he knows of the person, because he's not asking a high enough level of intuition, so one has to be constantly aware of their own spiritual level. I'm going to continue to read now.
Okay.
The ox, by eating the grass, allows the wicked person who was originally a vegetable to reincarnate into it. We have already explained the story of Yanus and Yambrus, the sons of Balaam, the wicked, who made the calf in the month of Tammuz in regard to whom it says, for the likeness of a grass-eating ox. This is talking about the elevation of Laban, because Janus and Yambrus are the, that Zohar tells us, are the mixed multitude that fooled Aaron into helping to build the golden calf. And it was enlivened by the soul of Laban being elevated from grass to an animal. Continuing to read. Elsewhere it says in the name of Rav Chaim Vital that Esav, the word grass, spells Ashab, the head letters of the words Shiva Asar Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, the day on which Moses broke the two tablets after seeing the golden calf constructed in the Jewish camp, is within one of the 4 months that souls reincarnate from vegetation to animals. Bilam's sons were there at the time, and they used their magic abilities to draw down the radiance of the image of the ox from the Merkava chariot in heaven. Naval HaKarmeli, Abigail's husband at the time, reincarnated into something inanimate. And thus it says his heart died within him and he was a rock. The secret of this is understood from knowing that Laban reincarnated into Bilam and later into Naval HaKarmeli. Bilam, who was a snake charmer, had power only in his mouth to curse people. And when Balaam was killed, it was with a single rock. Something domem, meaning silent, to atone for the charming he did with his mouth. When he further reincarnated, it was into Naval HaKarmeli, originally for the sake of rectification. But instead he angered David when he said, "Who is David and who is Ben Yishai?" David wanted to kill him. Instead, he came to rectify the wicked speech of Balaam. Instead, he, Balaam, repeated the mistake, and therefore his heart died when he remembered that he had once been a rock. This is why the verse does not say, "and he became a rock," but rather that he was a rock in the past tense. You need not wonder how he knew this. For Naval was an important person, and it is even likely that he was a prophet, or just someone with great understanding. It could be that his mazel understood this, even though he did not. The concept of reincarnating into something inanimate is also hinted to by the verse, "The stone from the wall cries out." For it is possible for stones in a wall to be reincarnations, or for wood rafters to be from the level of vegetation, and they will cry out from the extent of their punishment, which they are undergoing. We will explain other verses along these lines. And this is the end of section 5, also the end of our time. Does anyone have any questions? So you all have a beautiful evening. And we will speak again. Two classes tomorrow. One is the Parsha of Lech Lecha from the Zohar, continuing our deeper class in the Zohar. And at 7 o'clock, we will have writings of the Ari. That's West Coast time, 7 o'clock. I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Yom Hanukkah. Shalom to all.
Hey, you too. Shalom. Thank you so much.
Shalom.
Shalom.